You may or may not know this, but many podcast platforms have algorithms that prioritize new content or content that gains traction in the first 8 weeks. So this is why an intentional podcast launch is so important, because you want to signal to Apple that you've got strong signs of growth for your podcast. The good news is, even if you have a podcast that has plateaued or that has declined in growth through time, you can revive it and revitalize it. And inside of this episode, I am joined by fellow podcast host Rachel Proven, so you can see why an intentional launch for your podcast is so key for long-term growth and conversions. Welcome to Insider Secrets to a Top 100 Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Elmer. Let's make your business binge-worthy. So Rachel, before we get into the nitty-gritty of launching and why you should launch and what a podcast launch looks like, can you take us back to the beginning and tell us, like, what were some of the problems that you were experiencing in your business that even made you consider a podcast in the first place?
That is a great question, because I had sworn that I would never do a podcast, as I think many podcasters do. I had originally thought the market's too saturated. Everyone's doing a podcast. Who needs another CS podcast? But over the last year or so, you know, I built my entire business through LinkedIn, entirely organic, built a multi six-figure business strictly through posting on LinkedIn and doing some webinars. And for whatever reason, the algorithm changed it, and it took my views from something like I'd get on a good post, 100,000 views. Now a good post, if I'm lucky, is 5,000. And that kills my business. So I had to think of something to do, and I had to do it fairly quickly. I'd tried doing email before, but I knew that wasn't something that I enjoyed or be able to keep up with. And it wasn't until I thought of sort of my unique idea for the podcast, which was psychology of customer success. There are a lot of customer success podcasts, but there weren't any that I had seen that were strictly about, how does this work with humans? How does this work with the human brain? We're trying to influence people. And psychology is my other absolute love. So once I started floating the idea to a couple people that I know and trust and respect, they were like, you have to do this. You have to. I can't wait for this. And I started getting that from a lot of people once I told them some ideas. So that's really how I knew I had to do it. But at the same time, I also knew that I didn't know anything about podcasts other than listening to them. So I didn't want to learn by trial and error over the course of a couple of years. I am someone who likes to learn from an expert, understand what works, and I need accountability. Like, I need to have accountability to someone, to a group, to something. I need someone to tell me what to do and to notice if I don't do it, because otherwise it's just going to get pushed down the line. So I did a bunch of research, and then I found Courtney, and it's been one of the best business decisions I've made in a very, very long time.
This is awesome. And this is very true for a lot of people who want to launch a podcast. And it's often the thing that gets pushed off because it can feel like such a big undertaking. I remember having that conversation with you early on where you were like, LinkedIn is not what it used to be, because we're not able to get the organic reach that we once had. Even a year ago, you know, much less 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So I'm curious, once you did all that research and you found us, what was it that drew you to our methodology specifically?
The fact that you were saying that you could get it in the top 100 was something that I never even considered. But then once I heard it, I was like, well, that sounds cool. And for me, really, the whole point is, does this work? Is this a proven process that I'm getting myself into? And because you had so much success with that, it made sense to me. I also heard you on Brandon Lucero's podcast, and the way you were talking about the way you framed your podcast, the way you were talking about your methodology, just really made sense to me in terms of psychology. As a psych nerd, I said, that will work. That makes sense to me. And just the way it was, the checklists, the scripts, you know, it really was, I could make it my own, but I always knew the next step to take, when I should be doing it, what I should be doing. I wasn't guessing. I wasn't casting around. And that's exactly what I want, because I give myself 1 to 2 hours every day to work on strategic work. And the rest is life on life's terms and reacting to emails and dealing with the school calling me and, you know, serving my existing customers. But I have that short window every day and I want to make the best use of it by knowing that I'm doing something that has been proven to work.
This is so true across the board for those of us who have limited windows of time to work. I talk to people every single day who work when their kids are in school, or who only work a certain number of hours a week, or who maybe have a regular work week but are running a big company and are in the process of scaling their company, so they only have limited time to devote to something like a podcast. And this is especially true for those who value our time. So for those listening right now who are not familiar with our methodology, you can go back to episodes 201 to 205. We did a deep dive into the three pillars that make up our unique methodology when it comes to creating a podcast, launching a podcast, and leveraging that show for the long-term growth, both of the show and of your business. And really, this boils down to three key ingredients that we help people implement, not just to break the top 100, but to have your podcast be able to become that number one source of organic leads for your business. Because it's one thing to have a podcast, but it's another thing entirely to have a podcast that can actually grow your business. So those three pillars are number one, binge-worthy content. And not just the content inside of your episodes, but at every stage of the listener journey, even before they decide to hit play. Number two, a launch and relaunch system, which we are about to dive into in a little bit more detail. And then number three, long-term audience growth. Because once your podcast is up and running, this becomes the focus from then on out. How do you get more people listening to the podcast? And how do you increase conversions from the podcast to your business? So I'm curious, Rachel, of these three pieces, because you implemented every single one of them for your show, which one would you say has been the most impactful for you personally?
Oh, it's definitely to be able to have a way to reach my customers and have it get me more business. The first time we talked, I remember saying, you know, the top 100 is cool. I don't know that's necessarily going to happen for me because I'm so niche. But what I really want and need is for my customers to be able to see, oh, this person is talking to me. This is the person I need to work with. And that's exactly what it's done. That was sort of what drew me to it. It's like, this is going to help my customers sort of self-identify. So, and just the binge-worthy content system, that is really helpful to me, having that framework and that way of working. I use it all the time. And it really does work, and it allows you to teach people and give them really valuable content without giving everything away for free. You know, I really do know this is going to be my long-term growth strategy, because people really get to know who I am, and in a way that they couldn't on social media, you know, with me talking to them in their ear, being sort of reassuring, being myself, if that's something they like, it just hits in a way that written content, you know, short content doesn't.
Yes. And we see this a lot too, because as the social media platforms become increasingly crowded and increasingly competitive, it becomes a lot harder as an expert to really fit your wealth of knowledge into, let's say, a 7-second video or 150-word Instagram caption. And so what social media is doing from an organic content perspective is actually increasing the length of the sales cycle, because it takes a lot longer for someone in your sphere who's following you, who's paying attention to your content, to warm up enough to be ready to jump on a workshop with you, or to get into your next live launch event, or to hop on a sales call with you to want to buy from you. But to your point, Rachel, it's so true how the podcast can actually shorten that cycle. It flips it on its head, and it's one of the only organic forms of content creation that we have that actually does that because of the intimacy of the platform. So tell us about the launch. Be specific. Tell us, what happened when you launched that podcast? You hit publish. It was launch day. Like, take us through what that day was like for you.
Let me tell you, I've done launches before for my program, right? That's my business model. And a launch, I don't care how many times you've done it, it's always an undertaking. There's always 1,000 things to do, and you're watching the numbers like crazy. And this was no different. You know, this was the first time I had launched a podcast. So I had to build all that material, landing pages, all that good stuff from scratch. But I will say, I was shocked at the level of support and excitement that I was able to get with launching this podcast. I had, I think, over 500 people join my list, my mailing list, just by joining, you know, the pod squad. And, you know, they still are in a LinkedIn group. I still can market to them. But yeah, you know, I had set some, what I was like, arbitrary goals. You know, I was like, sure, this would be cool if this happened. Because again, long-term strategy, I wanted it to affect people. I wanted it to be something that people wanted to keep listening to and that they felt the quality was there. I did make the top 100 in a bunch of places. You know, most important to me was like the US and the UK, as that's where most of my customers come from. It was amazing. I had over 1,000 downloads that first day, which still blows my mind. But every episode is now getting, you know, at least 500 downloads within a week. And that feels really cool. And people are downloading other episodes. You know, I just hit 7,500 downloads 2 days ago. So that was really cool. And it was just so cool watching the numbers and feeling all the reviews come in. That was the coolest. It was an ego boost. And it was also something that I had put so much of myself into this, and seeing how much people valued it, how excited they were, how much it resonated with them. Every day, somebody posts something on LinkedIn about it and how it spoke to them and what they learned. And that's what I've wanted for so long, just that impact. So it blows my mind all the time.
I can only imagine how rewarding it must feel to see that impact within your community. Because for us as experts, all we want at the end of the day is for our words to matter, for our message to matter, for people to receive it and to actually change for the good because of it. It can be so discouraging when you spend 2+ hours pouring yourself, your heart, your expertise, your knowledge into a carousel post or a video, and you take time to edit that video and add the captions and add the hashtags and make the bullet points and the spacing and whatever else everyone is telling us we need to do in order to have our content be very consumable on these platforms. And we hit the post button and we keep checking and we keep refreshing and we keep looking to see, has anyone liked it? Have I gotten any new followers? And we're lucky to get a couple of likes and a few spam comments. And it's like, just rip my heart out, will you? Day after day of creating your best stuff, putting it out there to the masses and getting virtually crickets can be so disheartening as a business owner. It can be so discouraging, especially when you're in the stages of scaling your business and the burden of marketing falls on you. And what I really want to highlight here for you listening is that it wasn't just about these initial launch day results, because the charts fluctuate. This is normal. Things go up, things go down. In fact, after a launch, it's very common to experience a dip in downloads. And it's not about the dip. It's about knowing how to get out of it. And Rachel, because you have built such a strong foundation for your podcast, you've been able to sustain this momentum. I mean, 500 downloads in a week is 10 times what most podcasts get on average. Most shows are lucky to get 2,000 downloads in their first full year. You had 7,500 downloads in the first 3 months. So these numbers are huge. And imagine as that momentum continues to build and to grow 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, what that's going to continue to do for your business with the way that people are already responding. So after going through this whole experience, what would you say is something that surprised you the most about launching a podcast?
You know, there's actually two things. One, it really crystallized my message around like my key differentiators of what I teach, what I do, my message, how it's said. It really crystallized that and crystallized my voice in a way that I hadn't done in the 2 years of my business or the 2 years prior to that of just writing online. And it did that within a month or two. But the other just like amazing surprise was, a lot of times one of the main objections for people when they want to join my program is like, it's expensive, I can't afford it, and my company won't pay for it. I have things I have to say to that because it's their career. But of course, I understand this, you know, times are tight. What shocked me was it had only been out for a little over a month, and I had my next cohort launch of my course, which also has group coaching. And I have a Slack channel, and one of the channels in there is quick wins. And somebody posted in there, I just got my VP to offer to pay me back for the course. And I was like, wow, after, you know, I've had that happen before once or twice, but it's usually after you've completed it and they see the results. And she said, oh no, I just played this episode for them of your podcast and they were 100% in. And then like my jaw was on the floor, and then somebody else did it the next day and the same thing happened. Like that was wild, you know?
That is awesome. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for being here to share your story today. I so appreciate you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for helping me with this. Like, it's just, it's revived my business in a way I never expected.
I know y'all can't see me right now, but I have the biggest smile on my face because this is the kind of impact. This is what I mean when I say creating meaningful change in the world with your voice. Because we can talk all day long about becoming an authority or about having a top 100 podcast and how cool that is and the bragging rights that you'll have. And, you know, all these things that, let's be honest, boost our ego. But at the end of the day, actually being able to see that impact translate in such a tangible way to your business, it's just remarkable. So Rachel, thank you so much for being here today to share your pod launch story. And if you're listening right now and you're like, oh my gosh, I want your help to launch my podcast, just go to podlaunch.info or you can click the link in the show notes and let's hop on a call and find out if we're a fit to work together. Also, I've linked up Rachel's show in the show notes for you as well. So be sure to go check that out and then come with me to the next episode because I'm cringing right now. I cannot believe I'm about to do this, but I'm going to share with you my most embarrassing moment as a podcaster. I was really having second thoughts about this one, but I'm going to do it because I know that learning from my mistakes is going to help you. So head on over with me to that next episode and let's make your business binge-worthy. As you might have heard me mention inside this episode, if you want to join me for our next live workshop where I'm going to show you how to avoid the biggest mistakes that cause most podcasts to fail within the first 12 months and literally walk you through the exact framework that we teach our students to launch their shows in the top 100 and convert more of their listeners to clients, just go to theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop. That's theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop.